Well, welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs, and we are doing more legal interviews than ever before as we talk about the new economy and what's going on. We've got a full house here of attorneys, excluding myself, of course. We have as our co-host, Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. Welcome back, Mark.
Great to be here, Jeff. Great to be amongst the excellence here.
All right. And then we also have Mark Furman, our litigation reporter from the law firm of Tarlow, Breed, Hart & Rogers. Welcome back, Mark.
Hi there, Jeffrey. Great to be here.
Good. Everybody's looking good and healthy. And to fill out our full, our full house, we have Jason Chen, founder of Law Offices of Jason Chen. And we're going to discuss with Jason how simple mistakes can turn into major legal issues. And I assume we're talking about criminal law, Jason, or am I wrong?
No, you're right, Jeffrey. We're just really talking about how people in business kind of run into a lot of issues themselves. I mean, so a lot of times we see things in federal cases. You see the tail end of it. You see the big, big headlines of SEC violations, antitrust violations. And it doesn't really start that way, right? A lot of times it's just a couple of guys hanging out in a bar and they're saying, hey, you know, it'd be great if you charge this amount, I charge that amount. And before you know it, this whole federal investigation can kind of start. So these are the things that we see in everyday life in terms of our investigations. I mean, we see the tail end, the headlines of it, but it really starts with just simple, simple conversations. A lot of times people don't even know that they're going to start trying to do something illegal.
I'm going to defer to my my co-hosts just in case they want to go first with questions.
Well, the first thing I just want to ask you, Jason, is you have obviously people, as you say, people getting together, business people getting together, talking about a business venture. What do you advise them? Because some of these ventures start out like Ponzi schemes or whatever. They start out, they really don't realize it. It's a criminal enterprise. And then by the time they realize it, they're often making some great money and it's tough to get out of it. And it's building and building. Is that something you do consulting with too, as far as prevention?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Compliance is a huge thing. You have to really make sure you have the safeguards to kind of double check everything. But especially during the time of COVID, you start seeing companies start doing some very suspicious things. At the beginning, they don't think is really that big of a deal. But before you know it, they're dipping into different pots. They're starting to come with different schemes to try to keep the thing alive. And sometimes it could just be a pure standpoint of from them being, you know, completely wanting more money. And from other standpoints, it could just be them trying to stay alive for another month. But at the end of the day, it's still illegal. So those are very important conversations. Sometimes you really have to give pause and really think it through in terms of what are the long-term implications of what they're doing.
So we're... you know, in the pandemic, Jason, you know, most businesses, you know, probably 99% of businesses are adversely affected by what's going on with the COVID-19. So, and in a way, money is short for many businesses. So it makes the temptation a little bit greater, I would think, you know, in terms of trying to get money that they're not entitled to. You know, I've worked on a number of Ponzi scheme cases over the years, and these are the economic times that are challenging.
I think Mark brings up a good point, and I think that a lot of times entrepreneurs think that this is an opportunity to change the rules. The rules are the rules. Isn't that correct, Jason?
They are. I mean, you see all different sides of it. You see people who are just truly greedy, who are just applying for the PPP loan, ask for $12 million. They don't have a single employee. They don't even have a company. And you see the other side of the people who kind of get sweet talked by these people and they think it's a good idea just to float the business for another month. Obviously the implications in terms of punishment would be different. But a lot of times the guy who's setting up the scheme knows it's illegal. So before you know it, he's already bounced out of the country. Now you're the one stuck in there with the hand in the cookie jar. So I think Mark has a great point. Both Marks have great points. But I think the big thing is you got to be careful about who you enter into business with and see kind of what their reputation is. It is certainly a time of desperation. And back in 08, we saw the same thing. It's very different in terms of the reasons why we got to where we are, but where people start getting desperate, they really end up in situations and someone kind of gives them an idea, someone kind of starts talking to them. It sounds good, but you really look into it any further, it's all built on stilts, right? It's nothing, there's nothing of substance underneath, and that becomes the problem.
Jason, instead of coming in the very end, I know you and I have talked in the past that a lot of times you're very proactive. So it's like a business counselor, you know, litigator like Mark Furman, who's also a counselor to preventing litigation. You are also a counselor to preventing potential crimes. And, you know, do businesses touch base with you and say, Jason, I have this opportunity that's presented to us to invest in, to maybe move into, given the state of the economy, or take advantage of? What are your thoughts? What are some steps they should follow? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. I'm in all types of industries. The cannabis industry was a big area in terms of trying to talk to us about, you know, the federal issues that's still legal, the state issues, how they can essentially utilize funds and things of that nature. But really all different backgrounds in terms of companies that will reach out to us to kind of figure out if what they're doing is something that is legal or not. And it's just sometimes things are happening in their own company because their company is so big. They're saying, well, you know, our employees are doing this stuff to try to make extra commission. You know, what should we do? And sometimes they bring us in to do talks with them and say, look, this is not good. You're going to end up in a federal indictment because no one thinks that that's where they're going to end up. But it starts somewhere. I definitely agree with that.
So, Jason, what are you seeing in terms of how the courts are working in criminal cases during this time? Are cases proceeding the same way they were before March of 2020?
No, I mean, our last trial was the day before the shutdown. I'm glad I got my jury verdict back.
Okay.
And my client was found not guilty. But the problem is all the backlog is absolutely insane. Courts tried to open back up on the 13th of this month, and they're kind of rolling out this three-phase process. The next step is August 10th. The problem is a couple of courthouses already shut down a couple of times from having positive tests. So I know, Mark, for you, where you do a lot of civil litigation, you know, the rumor is that we're not going to have a jury trial until 2021 for criminal cases. That situation.
Yeah, and criminal gets priority over civil, so because there's a constitutional right to a speedy trial. So the civil cases are, they're on pause to a great extent. And, you know, I have, for example, pending summary judgment motions that will probably be scheduled for hearing. I don't know when. You know, I think the courts, I think many of the judges, you know, they're not in court every day now. Correct. Because of COVID. So if somebody's in court, you know, say 3 days in a week and working outside of court the other two, you know, we're not electronic on the civil side in state court for the most part. So if I, you know, some of my cases, you know, there's very large filings and it seems like it'll take a while for the court to get there. I mean, every hearing I had scheduled in March, April, May was indefinitely postponed.
Oh, wow.
And when this hit, I didn't have anything scheduled in June. So, you know, I had some decisions. We've had hearings on injunctions, all virtual. But I think the backlog is incredible. I mean, we'll see what it's like, but I've had no reason to go into my office. I've just been working out of my home office, and I'll go in when I need to go in, when there's a reason to go in.
I think I have the solution to the backlog. We're going to start Radio Entrepreneurs Courtroom. I'll be the judge. We'll have Mark Furman and Jason going at it. Mark Z can be a court officer for me. And we can have our little mock trials.
That's a great idea. Actually, in Texas, they did their first virtual trial.
Well, I mean no disrespect, Jeff, but there may be a client or two that may not want to put their life in your capable hands. I don't know.
Well, that was pretty tactful way to throw me down. Jason, you want to debate that? Jason, haven't you seen a side of me that would, you know, that maybe this is my calling?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is the smoothest hearing error's gone in my life. So this is great. But in Texas, they did their first Zoom jury trial. It was non-binding. It was a State Farm case, just to try it out. But they've been floating the idea, but I don't see how on the criminal side, you know, that can supersede your right of confrontation.
Right.
Jason, yeah. have you changed your strategy, piggybacking to what Mark said, knowing obviously even criminal trials are going to be delayed so much, just in terms of how you counsel your clients in terms of their rights, and also in sort of working collaboratively with the other side as far as, look, we're concerned about coronavirus being in the jails. We're concerned about the time, in terms of the lag time for cases. Let's do this. And so you're working more collaboratively and strategically.
It's all case dependent. If you got a murder case, you got a cocaine trafficking case, you got a sexual assault case, you got a white collar crime case, they're not really going anywhere. If you have a case where, you know, it's on the lesser side of things, a state court, and you try to resolve it via Zoom, I think a lot of courthouses right now are starting to have Zoom capabilities, that you can start doing pleas on Zoom. I've done several of those for different reasons. So they're allowing you to clear out some of your cases. The biggest thing is when it comes to trials, when certain cases need to be tried, that's not going to happen for a while. So we're all trying to figure it out.
On
the civil side, you know, there's usually a party that's more anxious to get the dispute resolved than the other party. There's great ways to settle cases if everybody wants to settle cases. Zoom technology for mediations, I think, is great with the breakout rooms and all that. But usually somebody just wants to have things go slower than the other side.
Well, speaking of slow, I'm not a big fan of slow, and that's why I'm probably not a good attorney. We've been speaking with Jason Chan, founder of the Law Offices of Jason Chan. Jason, before everybody gives their ID, what is the chance that maybe we could get you to come back and we can get a smackdown, a debate between you and Mark Furman on a case? We'll let Mark Z pick the case.
I love it, and it will be a smackdown. Mark, I know more of Mark. Mark has not known me. I've actually tracked his legal career since I was in law school. Tremendous lawyer.
No, since you were a little boy.
There was a case in my neighborhood, and it turns out that Mark was the lawyer in that landmark case. And I didn't know it at the time, but it was certainly a case that affected my neighborhood. So, yes. So, no, I do not want to get smacked down by Mark. So,
Mark Furman, he's been around a long time.
I'd be completely overmatched by Jason.
Mark Furman's been practicing law a long time. He did the Noah's Ark adverse possession case.
Ooh. Let me just say, Jeff, Mark Z would be honored to just be in the same setting as Mark Furman and Jason Chan.
I like my satire better. Mark Furman, if someone's looking for you at Tarla Breed Hart and Rogers, how would they find you?
I can be reached at mfurman, F-U-R-M-A-N, at tbhr-law.com or at 617-218-2025.
Right. Mark Z, how are we going to find you?
617-338-1300 and Mark Z Legal, M-A-R-C-Z, legal.com. Jeff, I didn't hear Jason and his contact info.
No, we're saving the best for last, Mark.
Okay.
Still totally newbie here. Didn't know how to do that. So my phone number is 781-343-1384. And my email is just my name, Jason, J-A-S-O-N, at attorney, attorney@chan.com.
Great. Thanks for being on the show today, Jason, Mark, and Mark. Look forward to seeing you guys again on Radio Entrepreneurs.